has been sworn in as the 47th President of the United States.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
Freezing temperatures in Washington, D.C. meant the inauguration was moved indoors. President Trump and outgoing President Joe Biden arrived at the Capitol together for the ceremony after meeting at the White House. In a wide-ranging address, Donald Trump said America is entering an era of national success.
From this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world. We will be the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first.
The president said illegal immigration would immediately be halted. He'd bring down costs and inflation and export American energy all over the world. Caroline Malone has more.
One of the key messages, though, that came across in his speech was that he wants to be a unifier, he said, and to bring peace. And those are some of the campaign pledges we heard from him before, that he wants to end some of the wars that are happening around the world. We know, of course, in just the last few days that ceasefire between Hamas and Israel has started. Trump and his administration say they played a key part in getting to the point of that being on the table and being agreed upon.
Before Donald Trump was sworn in, outgoing President Joe Biden issued multiple preemptive pardons, including for his family. They were announced in a bid to protect top officials from Donald Trump's promised revenge. Nick Harper reports from Washington.
Donald Trump has promised revenge on perceived enemies. This action by the outgoing president is an attempt to shield people from possible Trump administration prosecution. Among them, Anthony Fauci, central to COVID-19 policy, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, and members of the House Special Committee, as well as U.S. Capitol Police, who took part in the special January 6th investigation looking at Trump's supporters who overran the Capitol in 2021.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, welcome everybody to a little bit of a different opening there for the Last Christian radio show. Of course, we are synchronized, syndicated all over the world. So wherever you're listening to us from, welcome. And we are very happy that you're here. And we are very happy now to have a president, in my opinion, for the first time in 4 years. Mr. Paxson, what do you think?
Well, they dissolved the corporation last time around, too. So I think we even have a new country. I wonder if he's going to start a new one as well. Yeah, it's definitely interesting times. And as we all know, we like the things that he's saying. But ultimately, we cannot put our trust in a man. We put it in the King of Kings who's going to rule and reign. And all we can do is pray for our leaders now that they would rule in righteousness until such time arrives. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, things are looking pretty interesting. I have a lot of stuff to talk about regarding that. So we need to get into this right away. So, Father, we thank you for leading us and guiding us and showing us your truth and your wisdom and your insight as we navigate these end of days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to show everybody what we got for show topics today, and David's got, as he said, he's got a bunch to talk about, and so do I, and this is what we expect to talk about in the show. That is, of course, the fact that President Trump has returned to office now. We'll talk about his first 100 days and beyond that. Also, Biden's last gaffe. I didn't say laugh. I said gaffe, and we're going to get into that one, too. And then we'll also talk about the ceasefire over there in Gaza, as well as the hostage release, the first hostage release, and we'll show what's going on with that as well. But one thing I want to put up here real quick, David, is a little picture here. For those of you that are not watching us in video form, we suggest you do that. Just go to lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net, and there you'll find links to be able to see the show in visual form. But you can see here, Ukrainian President Zelensky asked to be invited to Donald Trump's inaugurations a total of three times, but he was turned down. And that's according to Donald Trump Jr. So I figure that he probably knows what's going on there. And
yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine. Yeah. I think the first thing we have to address here is that nothing did happen. We were looking out to see if they were going to try and do something to prevent this.
Yeah.
But the minute I saw Obama and the Clintons walk in, I'm like, all right, they're not going to blow themselves.
We're safe. Yeah.
Well, what happened to Mike, though? Where was Mike Obama?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't see him.
Yeah. Well, he, you know, he didn't go to Carter's funeral either, and you know, now he hadn't gone to Trump's inauguration.
I wonder. Number one, is it still alive? And number two, are they still married?
Yeah, right. Now, David, I know that you contacted me as the inauguration was going on.
Yes.
And sent me a thing. Hey, his hand's not on the Bible. You remember that?
Yeah, that was interesting. We had picked that up when watching, and it's like, hey, why is his hand not on the Bible?
Yeah.
And then, you know, instantly all the rumors and were surrounding everything. So we were looking into that because that's an interesting anomaly. We're going to say, So what happened there? Anyway, do you know anything new?
Yeah, I do. And I'm taking it basically at face value from Fox News reporting that is
okay,
closer
so Fox
to it.
News says
closer than me. But before I even get to there, let me say this. Uh-huh. This isn't the first time that there has been some kind of confusion at the inaugural. And it's not going to surprise me at all if John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the United States, does what he did for Obama in 2007. Okay.
Oh, what did he do then?
If you remember this, this is John Roberts blew it in his debut at swearing in the next president, the Supreme Court Chief Justice, stumbled over the oath of office, and he did not read it properly. And so there was a lot of people that were saying, is it legal? Is he really president of the United States? Mm-hmm. Because he didn't take the real oath. So John Roberts went to the White House, I believe that night, and swore him in again, just to make sure.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I feel like, and by the way, anybody that doesn't believe me, look it up online. You can find it. It's really, really simple. Okay? I went to Reuters myself, but, you know, anybody can go wherever they want. Anyway, the way that Fox explained it to me, and I was watching the inauguration live, and if you notice when Vice President Vance was sworn in. They said that he was going to be sworn in, and then he turned and looked, and you saw these two little kids walking down the aisle, and at first I was like, who in the heck is this? And then I realized, okay, those are his children, and then his wife gathered them, and they all went up there, and they had a moment together, and then he finished with his kids. He looked at the Supreme Court Justice, and he was sworn in as Vice President of the United States. Immediately thereafter, they said, and now we're going to swear in the 47th president of the United States. Donald Trump jumped up, really, and walked right up in place and looked Roberts right in the eyes. Now, in the background, you see the Trump family. They're scrambling. Melania's getting up. Barron's getting up. There's other people in the Trump family that are getting up, and they were all kind of moving toward the area where the president was, but they didn't make it in time. Roberts was already starting to swear him in. He said, raise your right hand, and he raised his right hand, and they got after it. And Melania finally got there. I think he was through maybe the first part of the oath.
When he came in halfway through?
Yeah, when Melania finally came up there. And if you look at the pictures even closer, you'll see that she is kind of to the back of him, behind him, and to the
left,
right of him, I believe.
Our right.
But anyway, wherever she wasn't within reaching distance without making him look like an idiot. So according to the Constitution of the United States, there is nothing there that says he has to have his hand on a Bible. That's just tradition. But there is a provision that he must have his right hand raised. He did that.
Okay.
But I'm going to go back now and say,
what if you don't have a right hand?
That would be interesting. You know, I'm sure there'd be some kind of special exception or something written in. But anyway, if there's any question about this, if the media goes nuts about it, I guarantee you John Roberts will go to the White House and swear him in again. I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. So
he may have done that already. Who knows?
He may have. Yeah, he may have already done it. Anyway, let's listen to what to expect here in the days to come.
We're told by the Trump team that they will cover three broad areas. The first being energy, so we're likely to see a rollback of climate initiatives put in place by the Biden administration, withdrawing from the Paris Climate Agreement that's nearly 10 years old, increasing oil and gas drilling across the US. The second broad area will be government reform, trying to slash spending in government agencies. And the third area is looking at border security. We're likely to see him declaring a national emergency at the U.S.-Mexico border and sending the U.S. military there.
Ukraine will find out the planned foreign policy changes in the U.S. on Monday as Donald Trump's second term in office formally begins. The incoming U.S. president has vowed to end the war quickly and is hoping to set up a meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Ross Cullen reports.
The war in Ukraine will be one of the major foreign policy challenges for incoming U.S. President Donald Trump. During the campaign, he vowed to end the conflict in 24 hours, though that time frame has now been pushed out to 6 months. It remains unclear if military funding from Washington will be maintained for now, or reduced, or even stopped entirely. Donald Trump may demand territorial concessions by Ukraine or take NATO membership off the table, though his special advisor on the war has called for security guarantees for Ukraine. Ross Cullen, Kyiv.
Okay, what do you think of that, David? First 100 days and beyond.
Yeah, see, I hope he does it all, you know, because there's some of the things they said the first time around that he didn't do.
Right.
One of them was lock Hillary up.
Right.
I was like, come on, you promised.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, after learning some things with the C2K report, I think she might have been authenticated and actually, you know, outside of the governance, which wouldn't surprise me. I think they all are, and because they know the game. Mm-hmm. But and they don't have anything directly like on her. They get, but it's, she's always paying somebody to pay someone else to pay someone to do it.
Yeah.
So that's how that goes. Ukraine, I think, you know, he's just terrified because now he's not going to get all our money anymore. That's why he kept asking. He wanted to look like a good guy. Can I come and play, please? Huh? Can I? Huh? Huh? Can I? I mean, Zuckerberg was there. Gates was begging, you know, oh, please let me play too. So he's just in with the other clowns, trying to kowtow to the latest power that be.
Well, you know, I feel like a lot of this, you were mentioning about like Hillary, for instance. When he first came into office 8 years ago, he basically said, you know, okay, the campaign's over, and he could have gone after Hillary, but didn't. And that's because he's not the kind of guy that goes after somebody. If you listen to the news report that was played earlier in this broadcast, they said that he had threatened people. Well, show it to me. I want to see the tape, because I have never seen him do that. He has always said, my revenge is going to be the success of my policies. That's what he said. Now, the lamestream socialist media is making up the thing about attacking. They're making
They want to make him out to be scary. Oh, look, he's threatening everybody, you know? And even some of the news out there says, oh, his anti-constitutional reign is about to start. It's like,
that's coming from the state-run media. You know, and I'll name them, CBS, NBC, ABC, you know, all of those are, they're calling it legacy media now. No, it's the state-run socialist media. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's the ones that want to destroy the Constitution are the ones telling you that, oh my God, he's going against the Constitution.
Yeah.
Well, shouldn't that make you happy? I mean,
one great point he made was he was going to bring back free speech. So here's the deal. Nice. Y'all listen to me very, very carefully. Sue them. Sue them. We need to put together right now, and I'm encouraging everybody out there listening to this broadcast, we need a class action suit against Google, We need a class action suit against YouTube, and we need a class action suit against any other social media outlet that has not yet restored free speech. If you have been harmed in any way whatsoever, let's get together, let's make it happen, and let's make them hurt. And I mean hurt to the point that they've got to sell it.
I am going to ask our ecclesia if there's actually anything we can do, you know, outside of the law system, because that's all governed by the crown anyway. So that's another thing to talk about. Let's see if we can do it as private men and women living on the land. That'd be great.
I'm ready. I'm ready. And let's part of whatever you guys come up with. Okay.
All right.
Now, I'm going to move along here with Biden's last gaffe. And I'm sure he really felt like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm going to pardon my family, which, by the way, he did 15 minutes before Donald Trump took office. 15 minutes before Donald Trump took office, he pardoned his entire family. He had already pardoned criminals, and I can call them criminals now because he pardoned them. Criminals of Anthony Fauci, of what's her name, Liz
Cheney.
That crazy individual that should have been prosecuted for treason and hung. Okay, but there's hope. Okay, there's hope. There's more to this. Okay, let's look at this one real quick, because this is what you need to know. Providing a pardon in a criminal offense terminates the criminal liability of the person. All restrictions that result from a criminal conviction will be terminated. Now look at the last part. However, a pardoned person is not exonerated from civil liability that a crime may have incurred. So, what does that mean? It means that Biden has committed a huge legal mistake. And again, I'm going to say this for anyone, you, a family member, a friend, or an associate that has in any way been negatively impacted by any person pardoned by President Joe Biden. Please understand that his action only minutes before leaving office does not absolve any of those who have now admitted they are criminals from civil legal action and monetary penalty. A pardon must be signed by each of the criminals pardoned, at which time they admit to their personal criminal behaviors, subjecting them to legal, civil litigation and monetary penalty. So if anybody out there, and this includes all of the January 6th hostages, any of them can now bring a legal action against any of the people who now have admitted criminal behavior by accepting this pardon, they can now go after them, and they can bankrupt them. And I hope they do, over and over and over again. That's legal stuff. Look it up. It's true, but it's something that you're not going to hear, of course, from the state-run socialist media.
Yeah, that is powerful. So let me repeat that, and I'll say it in a different way so you can understand. The United States government is a corporation, and the only thing that this pardon does is say that corporation is not allowed to prosecute them anymore.
Right.
Okay. Now, as a necessity, to accept that pardon, would have to sign something saying they admit that they are criminals and that, in fact, they're not going to get prosecuted by the federal government.
Right.
Well, I need to remind people there are 50 states which are also independent corporations.
Correct.
And they can go after these individuals. Now he basically just opened up a can of worms because now it's not on the federal level. Now you've got 50 people that are going to decide there.
So maybe they can spend a little bit of time in Texas jail, a little bit of time in New York jail.
Yeah, like a life in Texas, life in Louisiana, life in Missouri. That's a lot of lives they got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also opens it up to private stuff because you as a corporate entity can now do the same. So now each one of these individuals can sue them and prosecute them for the crimes in addition to the civil liabilities. Some of you may or may not know, even if someone like O.J. Simpson, he was found not guilty of murder. Mm-hmm. However, they still were able to sue him after that for consequences about that. So even if you can't get them to the crime, you can sue them for the results of the crime because they've admitted it already. You don't have to prove it now. It makes it so much easier. Hey, listen, he admitted to the crime. I want this much money. Mm-hmm. It makes it that much easier. And I don't know if they really understood that on the way out. I wonder if the babysitter actually talked them into that. And now she's like, oh, crap, I'm watching Last Christian and they're right.
Yeah. Well, let me just interject this real quick. Biden pardoned, I forget how many federal prisoners that were on death row.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two of those prisoners that said they didn't want the pardon. Now, there's a reason for that. They were in the process of going through their appeals. Okay. So now, if they accepted the pardon, then their appeal would obviously not count.
Right.
Okay. Since that time, I have been told, and I have not verified this as complete fact yet, but I have got it from a few different sources, though, that they can't reject the pardon. It's absolute. And whether they want to do it or not, somebody will sign their name for them if they have to. Okay? But they cannot.
You can't refuse a pardon?
You can't refuse it. Now, again, I'm hearing this from various sources, but I'm not saying that is 100% true. Okay, so you know, people look it up. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'll be the first one to take. Just like I didn't think Trump would serve, and I made that clear on several shows. I thought he'd be assassinated or something would happen to him. You know.
Well, we're half a day in.
So. Yeah, but anyway, you know, we'll see. But the thing is that I do not believe anybody is can reject a pardon, and it was the attorney Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz, was one that I heard talking about this, and he said that because it is a pardon that they would still have access to their appeal. So, take that.
Well,
for what
he's pretty good at that stuff.
Yeah,
he's kind of geeky. I don't really like him, but he's knowledge.
At least he's fair. You know, I'll say that for him. At least he's fair because you know, I mean,
he's just reading it. Yeah,
he's served as one of Trump's attorneys at one time during one of the impeachment trials. You know, so
yep.
I don't know.
He's unbiased.
We'll just have to wait and see how that works out. But the fact is that Joe Biden made a major gaffe again.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a gaffe machine. And this one is going to get a lot of people in trouble. And what do I have to say about that?
Yay! Well, I mean, that's
I hope
what
they're
the
all sued
all
into bankruptcy.
Time.
Yeah,
they'll set a snare and they'll wind up in the snare themselves.
Yeah. Well, you look back at O.J. You mentioned him. Okay, they went after him after he was exonerated, I guess, whatever you call it, in criminal court. They went after him and they got him on civil charges from the same thing for the Goldman family and the Nicole Brown family. But they also weren't done with him yet. They waited, if you remember, they waited until somebody tried to sell some of his stuff, and he went and got his stuff. It belonged to him, but they still got him some kind of way, and they put him in prison. Well, let me tell you this. All those people that got pardoned, they got pardoned for that. But if they do something wrong tomorrow, you can charge them, and you can put them in prison. And, oh, by the way, Joe Biden forgot one person.
Himself?
That is correct. He forgot to pardon himself. And they can't get him for anything. They can't do anything for the years that he served as president of the United States. That's off limits. But anything he did criminally prior to accepting the presidency, not the vice presidency, anything he did prior to accepting the presidency, he is criminally liable for if they can prove it in court. And they can prove a lot in court right now. The big the big guy, you know.
Oh, yeah. All they got to do is get one of those J6er people, and then they're going to squeal like pigs.
So he may, you know, again, it's the Biden gaffe machine, and he screwed up really bad last day. He should have just gone out and, you know, taken his medicine and got on the helicopter and left without doing any damage. But he just had to get in that last one.
Yep. Hey, Joe, I heard that that Trump gave him a MAGA hat when he got onto the
Yeah, you've got a helicopter. Video of that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I got a video,
I'll have to put that into the next show. I didn't have time to get it.
I'll play it
in the second half. How's that? I'll play it in the second half. I got enough time during the commercial break to take care of that.
Disclaimer, I made the video. But I do have it. You were right. I have that video.
Yeah, it is an AI video, and we will show it as an AI video. We're not going to try to pull the wool over your eyes or anything like that, like the state-run media does. We're going to actually tell you the truth all the way through.
But it's funny.
Yeah. Okay, David, we're under a minute. Go ahead and take us out. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to talk extensively about the ceasefire and about the hostage release.
That's fun and exciting. All right. So here's the deal, folks. All the chaos and mayhem that's going on in the world, these are the principalities and powers that you see. This was spoken of in the Word. We are at the end of the age, so they're ramping up their activity big time. Okay? Now, the church, known as the Ecclesia, is going to be taken out before that final 7 years of ultra chaos and mayhem. So I would suggest that you receive Jesus as your Savior, and then when he does come to take his bride home, you can come with us, and we'll be having a nice wedding supper while all that chaos is going on down here. In the meantime, Lord willing, if we're still here, we'll see you in the second half. Have a blessed day. Bye.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. Mr. David Paxton up there in New York City. David, mm-hmm. we kind of beat the inauguration and all that and the plans to death, but I still think there's a few things that we can talk about before we move on to the last topic
that we have today. Keeping my eye on grocery prices.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Once the oil comes down. Yeah. And, you know, I fart around with options on the stock market, too, so I'm mm-hmm. interested to see what happens tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I would suspect there'll be a giant spike.
Well,
we'll see.
There was a spike right on Monday, January 20th. You know, it jumped drastically even before he took office. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, it wasn't open today. You mean around the world?
Yeah. Well, no, I was thinking that it was maybe it was future. No, it couldn't have been. I don't know. I remember seeing something.
Just not the United States.
Yeah, I remember seeing something about it, and maybe it was expected to, but I thought it was happened, but I guess it was expected to.
Mm. Okay. Let me check their Bitcoin.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, Bitcoin's hovering where it's been.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to wait and see, because he's going to have impact for a long time, 4 more years, hopefully all 4 of them.
Well, now it'll be that rise again.
Yeah. Also, the January 6th people, I know, David, you talked to me about that. I thought he addressed that in the inauguration speech.
But we were listening, and I might have missed it because I was making hot dogs. but I didn't hear him say that, but then later on he said it at the luncheon. So,
yeah. Well,
in either case,
I could have sworn he said something about it in the inauguration, but I could be wrong. You know, it wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last. But I do know that he has referenced them as the January 6th hostages. All those people that they work so hard to put away, it's not going to take but a stroke of the pen, and they are all out and loose, and Biden better never run across one of them.
And able to sue them.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I was wrong once, but I found I was mistaken.
All right, Mr. Paxton.
Wait a minute, then you were wrong. It's all about what he does, not what he says. Mm-hmm. So let's see.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that he'd made a big deal about you know, the hostages over in the Middle East better be released before I'm inaugurated.
And here we go.
And so one day before he's inaugurated, the first 3 come out. So anyway, that brings us to the ceasefire and to the hostage releases. And now I've got a video here I'm going to play, and it starts off with no sound at all. And the reason for that is because of where these hostages were held. In other words, they're coming right out of the wherever they had them, at least for the last day or two.
Oh, that
and,
was announced.
They had to look at some information, which I'm sure was the hostage release. I don't know the facts of it. What do you call that?
Yeah.
They had to look at that, and then they were put in a in an SUV, and I believe they even showed, again, I've only watched this video about 30 times, so I can't remember what it was, but anyway, I believe they showed the paperwork, which it looks like it's on some kind of a or in some kind of a binder or something, and then it shows them as they are going to be released right up until the time they are released. I haven't seen anybody else show this. So anyway, y'all take a look at this, and David, feel free to talk over it as you see things, because I've got the volume down really low on this video for when it does come up. And the only reason I've got the sound up is because I want you guys to get an idea of what it was like for them. Remember now, these are three female hostages that have been held for well over 400 days. I think it was like 470, if I'm somewhere in that range, okay? And wow. I want you to put yourself in their position and see how you would have reacted to it, okay? Here we go. And as you can see there, they are just in the SUV, and I guess that's their presence or something. There's that thing I was telling you about, David.
What, are they certificates?
Yeah, some kind of thing. I'm sure that's their release information. But this is the easy. Now watch this. This is them being taken through the streets of Gaza. Just look at this.
You know why they're doing that?
It's a show off.
Yep. They got, first of all, because they think there's something they're not. But yeah. Because they don't want anyone attacking them before they release them, because then that would...
Now, you notice, real quick, there, like, you notice that they came in, and those are UN vehicles that are coming in right now. These are the Red Cross vehicles, I should say.
Yep.
Now, imagine yourself there right now.
And they were trying to stop them, or
no? They're trying to keep the crowd back from killing them. Here they sign their release papers, and they're real proud of this. Watch, see that?
I think they wanted to make sure that we knew that. Hey, here they are.
Here's the moment of release, right here. Listen to all that.
Yeah, there's something wrong with them.
Yeah. Now, I can also tell you that one of the hostages, if you noticed, her hand was bandaged. She lost two fingers. So she will have no problem doing the hook 'em horns, because that's what it looks like, really. Okay. Bandaged up. And she lost those two fingers when they were initially captured. She was shot first. So the lady that was shot was on the phone with her mother at the time she was shot. And she said that, "I've been shot. I'm bleeding. Click." Now, can you imagine what the mother went through hearing that? That's the last thing the mom saw.
For a year and a half.
Yeah. Think about that one for a minute. What do you think?
I think they're just pure evil. They're of their father, the devil. It's as simple as that. They're trying to hijack the promised land. God said we're going to promise. But that's what we heard from the beginning. I mean, you have Ishmael, right? He said he's going to be a brawler, and that's what they are. Then you have Esau, and he was a brawler, and they're all a bunch of brawlers. And even in their own religion, they say, well, if we can't find anyone else to fight, we'll fight ourselves. And that's exactly what they do. They just they want to fight about everything, and the only hope for them is Jesus Christ. You're just like everyone else in the world. And you'll find that when they do become saved, they're really smart and really nice and super people. You just got to get rid of those demons that are in them.
Yeah. All right. Now, I got a report from several different Israeli sources on January the 19th, the day before President Trump was to take office. Every one of them said that they had received reports that there was going to be a vote in the United Nations Security Council 2 hours before President Trump took office that would create a second, and they would actually do the two-state solution, that they would create Palestine as a state. I think I even sent you that message, David, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, I checked it again this morning. I checked it several times. I checked it right before we went, before we came on. No such vote has happened. Now, I don't know. I don't know where that came from, and I don't know if maybe it was planned, and maybe Trump stepped in and said, you know, hey, the United States is not going to sit there and not vote, which is what they, the way it was laid out to me, is, what do you call it, abstain? The vote was going to take place, and the United States could simply say, I veto that, and it's done. It's over.
So yeah, we got veto power.
I don't know if that's what happened, if, you know, Trump signaled that, you know, you better not do that, you know, otherwise the United Nations might need to find another city besides a New York or something like that, you know.
He'll make that into a nice apartment building. It'll be nice over there. It overlooks the river. You got the 59th Street Bridge there, Roosevelt Island. Make really nice apartments.
So,
you
know, I don't
know.
It's
easy to get to.
So I don't know if that was what happened, or if they maybe thought that something like that was going to happen, so they just got out ahead of it, you know, to try to make it not happen. I have no idea. But when I first saw it, I was so mad, David. I was so mad. You know, if Biden had done that on his last day in office, that would have, I mean, you can't go after him, because, you know, a president can do what he wants to do when he's in office. But my goodness, the you know, he's worried about what his legacy is going to be. Well, that would have been it.
Well, it's, he pretty much destroyed the United States. Now he destroyed Israel. So, and I mean, not for nothing, but they're not going to play nice anymore. They're done. They're like, we tried to play nice last time, and look what you did. Okay, we're not playing nice anymore. Now you got all these hardened vets that are like very patriotic, and they're not happy.
Not at all.
So, this isn't going to go down nicely. Let me tell you that.
Well, let's
they
look
are going to rise up.
Let's look, but before we go on, I got some more stuff on the Gaza ceasefire that we need to get to. But before we go on, let's examine a couple of things that Trump addressed in his speech. Number one, I don't know, and I told you this, I don't know what I expected for an inaugural address, but that wasn't it. And when I mean, he went after Biden with, you know, it's like a double-barrel shotgun on Biden and Kamala. Basically said, everything you've done, I'm going to override it day one. You're done. It's just like you didn't even exist. And my brother sent me a picture. By the way, guys, I forgot to load his movie. But anyway. you know, Biden just... I can't imagine what it would have been like to sit there and listen to this guy and have to sit there and listen to it, have to endure, you know, you did this, nope, it's gone. You did this, nope, that's gone. You did this, nope, that's gone. And then say there's only two sexes. Thank the Lord for this one.
Yeah,
only male and female. So all you trans people that thought that you were there, you said, we're not going anywhere, guess what? You just left.
Okay. Yeah, this one.
So you know, there were some wonderful things done there that you know, where he can say, you know, Lord, I did what I know you want me to do. David, I'm sure you got some more to comment on that, and then we'll get back to Gaza.
Yeah, I mean, last time he was trying to make it nice, and, you know, he realized that all the people that said they were on his side weren't. I mean, look at Pence. Look at, you know, like, mm-hmm. just so many people. Oh, so, man. And now they tried to kill him. He's like, oh, I'm supposed to be dead. So what mm-hmm. difference does this make? They're not going to kill me. Let me do whatever. Now, the other side of that is he the hero that they sent to us?
Right.
You know, if you read the Masonic thing, he says, let's cause a lot of chaos in the world and then provide them with a hero. Mm-hmm. So you do have that aspect too.
Right.
So I've just been looking at it. That being said, we love all the things that he's saying that he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I pray to God that he did repent and that he did receive Jesus mm-hmm. and that these are the things that God has called him to do. That's what I want. But as a good Christian, we just need to keep our ears up and just be on guard and ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. So I don't want to be so myopic that I miss something as well.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, and so that's where I'm at. But you know what? That video is 7 seconds. So we can end 7 seconds early and just exit the show.
Maybe I'll find it while you're talking with these. No, President Trump has been given a great opportunity. He's only the second president ever to serve non-consecutive terms.
Right.
There's only one other, I believe it was Garfield, maybe? Or
yeah, because who votes for a guy named Garfield?
But anyway, his second term did not end well. Anyway.
I got a question on that, too. Now, the two-term limit, is that two consecutive terms, or is that two terms total?
No, it applies... President Trump cannot run for re-election now. He has now officially won.
Yeah, he'd be way old. He'd be 82 at that point anyway.
Yeah, he can't serve any more than the 4 years.
But I don't know why they have that either.
FDR.
Because it used to be you can run as much as you want. And then the guy who was elected 4 times made the law. Oh, yeah, sure. After you get in there 4 times, you make the law.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's exactly what happened. They were, at the time... This was really the Republicans that are responsible for this more than anybody mm-hmm. else, because Franklin Roosevelt was a Democrat, and he was elected 4 times, and he died early on in his 4th term, and Harry Truman took over. And so Truman was allowed to serve out Roosevelt's 4th term. Then he was elected to his own term, and he was also... grandfathered in so he could run again for the next election. But every president since, you can only have 2 terms, and that's it. And again, it's really the Republicans did that because they were afraid of a kingship occurring. Yeah. And that was really
all the political things.
I mean, and there's been a lot of presidents. Barack Obama was interested in overturning this. I'm not sure about Clinton, but I know Obama looked at it really hard. He really didn't want to go away. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back to Gaza here, and we're going to talk about first the Gaza ceasefire. Listen to this.
More than 600 aid trucks have made their way into Gaza as the ceasefire enters a second day. Thousands more are expected in the coming days as humanitarian charities warn of the huge challenge in providing Palestinians with the basic necessities of shelter, food and clean water. Dr. Sarah Husseini is director of the British Palestinian Committee and says although the pause in fighting is desperately needed, there is still uncertainty about the days and weeks ahead.
It's definitely a moment of relief after, you know, 15 months of relentless bombardment that's left us with, you know, 42 million tons of rubble to pick through now. I think at the same time, of course, there's a deep sense of unease because, you know, we know this is not the first assault on Gaza. It's not the first ceasefire. And so there's a lot of concern about what happens next.
Assault on Gaza. Did you hear that?
Yeah, the assault on Gaza.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with you destroying the country and taking hostages and invading them and saying, I'm going to kill all of you. Nothing to do with that at all. I wonder if they how did they weigh it? She said it was 42 million tons of rubble. Like, how do you know?
I don't
have like
an
idea. Scale?
Yeah, I don't know. They just didn't, you know, they took a good guess,
crap
I guess.
Up.
Yeah, I take a good guess and hope they're right. That's really what the media has lived on for the last several years. You know, we'll throw it out there and we'll say it. Yeah. We'll say it off like enough. Maybe somebody will believe it, you know.
Yeah. This was millions of years ago.
Mm.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Sorry, it wasn't.
I only got one more audio report for you guys today, and again, we're getting back into Israel and Gaza. Let's listen to this one.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu described the initial phase of the ceasefire agreement as temporary, emphasizing that Israel maintains the right to resume military action if necessary.
Both President Trump and President Biden have fully supported Israel's right to resume fighting if negotiations on phase two prove unproductive. I deeply appreciate that. I also commend President Trump's decision to lift all remaining restrictions on the supply of critical weapons and ammunition to the State of Israel, Netanyahu said. Benjamin Wright reports.
Okay, so he gives, if you notice, he mentioned Biden once and Trump twice.
I think he just did that just to be nice.
I do,
he knows
too.
As well as everyone else.
I do, too.
He's useless. So
anyway, you tell me. I mean, I'm looking for your movie right now, David, so give me a minute.
Okay. So let me see. He was just playing with him, and you know, Netanyahu knows how to speak and how to speak professionally and politically and not ruffle feathers, because I mean, he's the prime minister of Israel, for crying out loud. He's got every last nation in the world coming after him, so he's learned this pretty well. So he's just saying that. My real concern with it all is that Gaza or the Hamas has already broken parts of the treaty before it even went into effect.
That's true.
You know, they've already started fighting over here and over there. And, you know, I think we talked about this on the last show or the one before, but basically they're doing all the things right. Israel saying, and taking this way overboard. Mm-hmm. Hey, if, you know, we'll give you 30 hostages for
30
one.
To one. 30 to one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if he's doing it on purpose, because he's going to show the world, look, I played nice. This is what we did. This is an unbelievable deal, and they still can't keep it.
Right.
Because he knew this day was coming when now he's got all the weapons. And then what I think is going to happen, if it goes the way I project it, is they're just going to take it all back. You know, okay, we have full thing now. We gave you your chance. You blew it. And maybe that's why they didn't vote for the two-state solution. But I would lay money on it, if I was a better, that they're just going to go in and destroy what they need to destroy and take it back and rebuild it.
I guarantee you are correct, because mainly because that's basically what Netanyahu said. You know, that and now he put it in terms of both President Biden and President Trump, but let's be serious. With Biden, nothing would have happened, but you can guarantee that if they truly break the ceasefire in such a way that the world cannot deny that it's been broken, Trump's going to give them the green light, okay, and then they can they can do it. Okay, I got your movie.
I think they both know it will happen.
Yeah, I got your movie, David. Now, for everybody, before I play this, this is fake. I want to make it really clear. This is fake. Okay, it was done by AI. We don't hide anything. Okay,
but
it is funny. Here we go.
Hey Joe, I want you to have this. It is the best hat ever. There has never been a better hat.
I think that is awesome. You know, and basically, that's the way he did the inauguration. He said, you know, hey, Joe, you did all of this. And, of course, I'm going to destroy that. I'm going to take care of that.
Yeah, but, here's your hat.
At one time, Biden looked like he was down and out. He had just had his head down and looked like he was biting on his fingers at one point.
I think he crapped his pants.
Yeah. And then Kamala, she was giving him like this death stare. And to me, it was just, it was so funny. I'm going to play it over and over again.
Camel Toe and the Babysitter kind of made up a little bit.
Yeah, it looked like, but I don't think they really have. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they played nice, but you know that Joe was livid.
Oh, yeah.
From the whole coup and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe, you know, the enemy of the enemy is my friend. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just know that finally we have a president again, and I'm happy about that. I think that we have a pro-Christian president. At least I hope we do.
Well, yeah, that sounded like that, too. He's like, oh, God, we're bringing God back, and we have to have God in the middle of all of this. Mm-hmm. And then I liked when they played Glory, you know, Hallelujah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the army came in and sang that. That was moving.
It was. But to piggyback on a point that you made earlier, we are not just giving Donald Trump, you know, he can do whatever he wants. We're not saying that. We'll be watching him, and we'll be just as critical of him if he makes something that is anti-God, anti-Jesus. Believe me, we'll point it out. Okay, we're not representing the Republican Party. We are ambassadors for Christ, and that's exactly that is our job. That's what we'll do. All right, David.
Hey, you know what else we saw?
What's that?
That he's going to reinstate all the veterans or all the the active people, and then give them full back pay for all the years that they got canned. That's going to be great.
Yeah, amen. I'm happy about that. And also, I've got a feeling. I think he may have even referenced it, kind of in a sugar coated way, that if you're trans and you're in the military, then your time in the military is about to come to a halt.
We're done. Yeah. Today, pack your stuff, you're out. Yeah, and then all those weirdos, did you see them all?
Yeah. Well, the one thing
I don't even want to, don't even
the one thing that I know, you know, is that we don't have to live under this anymore. You know, that was the beautiful thing to this, is that, you know, everything is being, as best he can, everything is being restored. You know, common sense is being restored to the country, and that's just awesome to me. I'm really happy about it, because I really thought we were done. I really thought we would pass the point.
Well, maybe we got to retrieve. Maybe God's people repented and prayed enough. Who knows?
Yeah.
We shall see.
Let's check weather over the next month or so.
Yeah.
Just maybe not even a month. You know, let's check weather going forward and see how things.
Now, not for nothing, I vote for the rapture today. So
me too.
You know, when the King returns, you know, I'm good. Let's do it.
Take us out of the show, David.
All right. So, speaking of the King returning, this is all interesting to talk about. We got to keep our eyes on it because we live here. And even though we are ambassadors of another kingdom, and that's where our home is, he says, while you're here, do your best to play nice with everybody. Okay. But still, you need to remain separate. You're in the world, but not of the world. And even Jesus on the cross said, my kingdom is not of this world. I could call 10,000 angels right now and wipe all you guys out. Now, if one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night, imagine what 10,000 angels would do. So this is the King of Kings. And regardless of your bias and whether you think anyone else is God or there is no God, this is the fact. Jesus created this whole place. He is the King. He's coming back to return to rule and reign on this planet. And then he's going to wipe everything out and start all new. You could be on his team. He died for you. He gave you a new contract. And all you got to do is receive that contract. Say, Jesus, I receive you, and ask him for his terms and conditions. So, Lord willing, we'll see you next time. You have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.